Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is Election Day, as you know. I want to begin the broadcast today reading out of 2 John, the second epistle of John. And it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of your children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we keep or we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. And what is that commandment? That you might love one another. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen." And then in 3 John, that was 2 John, and then in 3 John, we hear these words in verse 1. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of your charity before the church, whom, if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yes, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. And then John finishes his third epistle by saying, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Be to you, our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. Well, obviously, in the second and third epistle of John, he is most interested, this wonderful apostle of Jesus Christ, in the truth. The thing that creates joy in his spirit is the truth. And folks, you know, and I know, that there are not many truths. We know that there was a man by the name of Pontius Pilate who said, what is truth? Well, we know that truth is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. We also know that Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Without the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ together as one, there is no truth. Today, there's a battle for truth, I hope. I'm not so sure that we're looking for truth, or if we are just simply looking to be tantalized by our senses of the most dramatic themes that are presented to the mind daily. We must desire to know the truth. Jesus, the truth, said, if we knew the truth, we would be set free. What is the truth? It is Jesus. It is his doctrine. It is Christ. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Word of God, the truth. We live in a world that Jesus said in the last days would be filled with deception from the father of lies, in whom is no truth. And you can imagine that the father of lies today has poured forth out of his mouth like a serpent a flood of deception to sweep away the minds of the masses, that they would be led away into all different ideas, but not the truth. For the devil comes as an angel of light. And as an angel of light, he talks about truth. He speaks about it, but he knows nothing of the truth. There's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. And yet we know that there is a flood of iniquity that is pouring forth out of the mouth of the dragon to sweep away the woman. And that flood, I believe, is deception and lies and every filthy thing that could possibly be employed to remove the saint from the secure foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 7, he who hears my words and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel, the pure teachings of Yeshua must be understood, they must be heard, and they must be obeyed. The words of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And that is what is going to keep us rooted and grounded in love in these last days. For there is a storm coming. There is a wind blowing. There are forces being released into the atmosphere to do everything in their power to divide and conquer, to steal, kill, and destroy, to cause saints of God to be swept away in the apostate flood so that the love of many will wax cold. Being rooted and grounded in love is the answer, and that is in the truth, that is by the Spirit of truth, and by Christ, the truth. We say these things because we're living in a deceptive world. We live in a world that is deceptive. In just one moment, I am going to share with you a letter that was written, not by me, but I'm going to share this letter because it was written about a week ago on October 25th. It was handed to me this past weekend at one of our services, and I believe it is a well-written letter with truth in it, and I want to examine it together. I'll tell you who the author of the letter is when I'm finished reading it, but I believe it's profound for this very day called Election Day 2020 and the days that we are living in. And so I want you to get ready. But before I move forward into this letter and then we get further into the Word of God, I want to extend a hearty happy birthday to my dear brother in the Lord, Robert. Robert is one of the most hard-working, constant men that I know. You talk about being stable. You talk about being rooted. You talk about being grounded. My brother Robert, who he and his lovely wife, Melody, have recently come to our ecclesia within the last year or so, have been such an inspiration, a pillar in our New Wine Ministry Fellowship. And today is Robert's birthday. And Brother Robert, no, I take that back. Yesterday was Robert's birthday. We were not on the air. I tried to call Robert yesterday on phone, and I had another Robert from California in my phone. And then I was driving, so I wasn't able to do it. And I just felt like, well, let's wish Robert a very happy birthday today. So, Robert, wherever you are, out there on the road, driving that big rig, wherever you are, may God bless you today. Happy birthday to you, sir. Happy birthday. May the Lord bless you. May this year be a year of all things coming together, answered prayers, and God opening doors of opportunity for you. And may God bring you into places you've never dreamed in the Spirit. And may God's glory continue to grow in your life. And may the Spirit of Christ continue to grow in your life. And may all of the fruit and all of the desire of your Heavenly Father take root inside of you, giving even greater confidence and more strength in Jesus' name. Robert has strength. He's got strength of will, strength of character, and physical strength. And may God add to it a deep spiritual increase as a gift to your life in this coming year. We're all going to need it, and we're going to need to be around people like you who are strong in the faith, giving glory to God, standing in the windy day of adversity. So again, my dear brother Robert, God bless you. Happy birthday to you, and we wish you our peace, love, joy, and shalom. Happy birthday. Having said that, Robert, we're going to move forward now. I'm going to read a letter. I want us to really begin to focus on this work. Our desire today and what we're talking about is the truth. We want the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. It's how we used to swear people in on the courts in our country. And we know that there's so much deception. So we're going to ask for the light rays of truth to shine into the darkness. And if there be any deception within any of us, may the light of truth that comes through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit shine, expose any darkness. It's not a wonder that any one of us would have some measure of deception within our lives, blind spots. But we want the truth to shine so that there's none. The adversary must be exposed by the light of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is an open letter I'd like to read, and I'm going to begin it this way. Mr. President, this historical moment sees the forces of evil aligned in a battle without quarter against the forces of good. Forces of evil that appear powerful and organized as they oppose the children of light, who are disoriented and disorganized, abandoned by their temporal and spiritual leaders. Daily, we sense the attacks multiplying of those who want to destroy the very basis of society, the natural family, respect for human life, love of country, freedom of education and business. We see heads of nations and religious leaders pandering to this suicide of Western culture and its Christian soul, while the fundamental rights of citizens and believers are denied in the name of a health emergency that is revealing itself more and more fully. Sorry, folks. Clear that pipe. Wow. All right, so the rights of citizens and believers are denied in the name of a health emergency that is revealing itself more and more fully as instrumental to the establishment of an inhuman, faceless tyranny. A global plan called the Great Reset is underway. Its architect is a global elite that wants to subdue all of humanity, imposing coercive measures with which to drastically limit individual freedoms and those of entire populations. In several nations, this plan has already been approved and financed. In others, it is still in an early stage. Behind the world leaders who are the accomplices and executors of this infernal project, there are unscrupulous characters who finance the World Economic Forum and Event 201, promoting their agenda. Now, just for a moment, if you're not sure of what Event 201 is, it was, and I'll just read it to you, it was the John Hopkins Center of Health Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation hosted Event 201. It was a high-level pandemic exercise on October 18, 2019, in New York, New York. The exercise illustrated areas where public-private partnerships will be necessary during the response to a severe pandemic in order to diminish large-scale economic and societal consequences. Now, you probably have already heard this. It's probably older information, but some of you may not know that in October of 2019, the World Health Organization, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johns Hopkins University, held an exercise. And let me go a little deeper into what they were saying the exercise would be. This was in 2019, before coronavirus hit. In this article, it states that there would be a pandemic called coronavirus that would begin in Brazil among pigs and bats, and it would spread to the ends of the earth, that it would kill 65 million people and infect almost the entire globe of citizenry. Now, in 2018, this exercise was real. It was a real exercise. And they covered everything from news media script to how they would respond. They said it would take 18 months for the pandemic to slow down. We're not even into 12 months right now. And it would continue until a vaccination would come that would save the day. Now, this was a planned pandemic, and then right after October 2019, moving into December, January, February, it began to spread in China, and it came to the shores of America, and then hit the nations of the earth just months after they did the scenario. So the writer of this letter is mentioning that planned agenda. The writer of this letter went on to say to the president, the purpose of the Great Reset is in the imposition, or it is the imposition of a health dictatorship aiming at the imposition of liberticidal measures hidden behind tempting promises of ensuring a universal income and canceling individual debt. The price of these concessions from the International Monetary Fund will be the renunciation of private property and adherence to a program of vaccination against COVID-19 and COVID-21, promoted by Bill Gates with the collaboration of the main pharmaceutical groups. Beyond the enormous economic interests that motivate the promoters of the Great Reset, the imposition of the vaccination will be accompanied by the requirement of a health passport and a digital ID with the consequent contact tracing population of the entire world. Those who do not accept these measures will be confined in detention camps or placed under house arrest, and all their assets will be confiscated. Mr. President, I imagine that you are already aware that in some countries, the Great Reset will be activated between the end of this year and the first trimester of 2021. Remember, this was written 7 days ago. For this purpose, further lockdowns are planned, which will be officially justified by a supposed second and third wave of the pandemic. You are well aware of the means that have been deployed to sow panic and legitimize draconian limitations on individual liberties, artfully provoking a worldwide economic crisis. In the intentions of its architects, this crisis will serve to make the recourse of nations to the Great Reset irreversible, thereby giving the final blow to a world whose existence and very memory they want to completely cancel. But this world, Mr. President, includes people, affections, institutions, faith, culture, traditions, and ideals. People and values that do not act like automations, who do not obey like machines, because they are endowed with a soul and a heart, because they are tied together by a spiritual bond that draws its strength from above, from that God that our adversaries want to challenge, just as Lucifer did at the beginning of time with his non servium. Many people, as we well know, are annoyed by this reference to the clash between good and evil and the use of apocalyptic overtones which according to them exasperates spirits and sharpens divisions. It is not surprising that the enemy is angered and being discovered. Just when he believes he has reached the citadel, he seeks to conquer undisturbed. What is surprising, however, is that there is no one to sound the alarm. The reaction of the deep state to those who denounce its plan is broken and incoherent, but understandable. Just when the complicity of the mainstream media had succeeded in making the transition to the New World Order almost painless and unnoticed, all sorts of deceptions, scandals, and crimes are coming to light. Until a few months ago, it was easy to smear as conspiracy theorists those who denounced these terrible plans, which we now see being carried out down to the smallest detail. No one, up until last February, would ever have thought that in all of our cities, citizens would be arrested simply for wanting to walk down the street, to breathe, to want to keep their business open, to want to go to church on Sunday. Yet now it is happening all over the world, even in picture postcard Italy, that many Americans consider to be a small, enchanted country, with its ancient monuments, its churches, its charming cities, its characteristic villages. And while the politicians are barricaded inside their palaces, promulgating decrees like Persian satraps, businesses are failing, shops are closing, and people are prevented from living, traveling, working, and praying. The disastrous psychological consequences of this operation are already being seen, beginning with the suicides of desperate entrepreneurs and of our children, segregated from friends and classmates, told to follow their classes while sitting at home alone in front of a computer. In sacred scripture, St. Paul speaks to us of the one who opposes the manifestation of the mystery of iniquity. In the religious sphere, this obstacle to evil is the church, and in particular, the papacy, so the writer says. In the political sphere, it is those who impede the establishment of the new world order. As is now clear, the one who occupies the chair of Peter, speaking of the Pope, has betrayed his role from the very beginning in order to defend and promote the globalist ideology, supporting the agenda of the deep church who chose him from its ranks. Mr. President, you have clearly stated that you want to defend the nation, one nation under God, fundamental liberties, and non-negotiable values that are denied and fought against today. It is you, dear President, who are the one who opposes the deep state, the final assault of the children of darkness. For this reason, it is necessary that all people of goodwill be persuaded of the apocalyptic importance of the imminent election, not so much for the sake of this or that political program, but because of the general inspiration of your action that best embodies, in this particular historical context, that world, our world, which they want to cancel by means of the lockdown. Your adversary is also our adversary. It is the enemy of the human race, he who is a murderer from the beginning. John 8:44. Around you, Mr. President, are gathered with faith and courage those who consider you the final garrison against the world dictatorship. The alternative is to vote for a person who is manipulated by the deep state, gravely compromised by scandals and corruption, who will do the United States what Jorge Mario Bergoglio, the Pope, is doing to the church, Prime Minister Conte to Italy, President Macron to France, Prime Minister Sanchez to Spain, and so on. the blackmailable nature of Joe Biden, just like that of the prelates of the Vatican's magic circle, will expose him to be used unscrupulously, allowing illegitimate powers to interfere in both domestic politics as well as international balances. It is obvious that those who manipulate him already have someone worse than him ready, with whom they will replace him as soon as the opportunity arises. And yet, in the midst of this bleak picture, this apparently unstoppable advance of the invisible enemy, an element of hope emerges. The adversary does not know how to love, and it does not understand that it is not enough to assure a universal income or to cancel mortgages in order to subjugate the masses and convince them to be branded like cattle. This people, which for too long has endured the abuses of a hateful and tyrannical power, is rediscovering that it has a soul. It is understanding that it is not willing to exchange its freedom for the homogenization and cancelization of its identity. It is beginning to understand the value of familial and social ties, of the bonds of faith and culture that unite honest people. This great reset is destined to fail because those who planned it do not understand that there are still people ready to take to the streets to defend their rights, to protect their loved ones, to give a future to their children and grandchildren. The leveling inhumanity of the globalist project will shatter miserably in the face of the firm and courageous opposition of the children of light. The enemy has Satan on its side, he who only knows how to hate. But on our side, we have the Lord Almighty, the God of armies arrayed for battle, and the most holy virgin who will crush the head of the ancient serpent. If God is for us, who can be against us? Mr. President, don't go away. Hold on. We're going to talk to this. We're going to respond to it. Mr. President, you are well aware that in this crucial hour, the United States of America is considered the defending wall against which the war declared by the advocates of globalism have been unleashed. Place your trust in the Lord. Strengthened by the words of the Apostle Paul, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. To be an instrument of divine providence is a great responsibility for which you will certainly receive all the graces of state that you need, since they are being fervently implored for you by the many people who support you with their prayers. With this heavenly hope and the assurance of my prayer for you, for the First Lady and for your collaborators, with all my heart, I send you my blessing. God bless the United States of America. That letter was written by Carlo Maria Vigano. He is the Archbishop of Ulpiana. He was the former Apostolic Nuncio to the United States of America. All right, so let's talk just a little bit. This letter. Number one, I thought it was absolutely well written. But we're looking for the absolute truth. I believe that letter written 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, I believe that the contents of that letter, except a few, I believe the contents, if employed by the people, would have a very absolute result. But I think that the writer of the letter brought up 2 Thessalonians about the one who opposes the Antichrist, that there must be an understanding that for 3.5 years, this opposer, this Antichrist, is going to silence the people of God. I do believe that the church is a restrainer, and when it is taken out of the way, the Antichrist will come. The confusion has been, well, if the church is taken out of the way, there's a pre-tribulational rapture, right? No. A church being taken out of the way does not necessitate a pre-tribulational rapture. A church that has become compromised, A church that has fallen away. A church that has become silent. A church that has been ensnared in global agendas. A church that is lukewarm. A church that no longer stands for righteousness, but tolerates the agendas of the Antichrist. That is a church that is being taken out of the way. And the few remaining ones that have a voice, that sound an alarm, that blow a trumpet, will soon become the targets of this very Antichrist. The truth is what we are looking for. Oh, yes, we could take to the streets. We could go to war as children of light. But I'm not so sure this is the time to do that to save America. For America has blasphemed the holy name of God. It's promoted the innocent blood being shed, has promoted one abomination after another, and after 60 years of a cry of repentance to turn away, now its time of judgment has come, and I'm not so sure that the civil or revolutionary war is the answer for this moment. I do know that a time will come when after the great tribulation, which is underway, which is at the door, the doorknob is turned, the door is creaking open to the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, that those who endure to the end will be partakers of the resurrection of the dead. Those alive and remaining to the end of the great tribulation will be caught up to meet the Lord, and they will be with the Lord. And then the wrath of God will be poured out upon this earth against Babylon, the false prophet, the dragon. And after God's wrath is poured out, the Lord Jesus Christ will come with the armies of heaven. And he will come to judge and to make war and to trample this earth. And he will set up his government. And the 1,000-year global dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ will commence. I do not believe that the letter being written for this moment, for the people of America that are all of a sudden going to stand up and fight against the principalities and the powers, is what is taking place. Time will tell. I thought it was an excellent letter. I thought it was a letter that was well written by this gentleman. I think there's a lot of truth, sad truth. I believe there is an agenda. I believe there is a one world government global agenda. And I believe that there are principalities and powers that are making war with the saints of God. And I believe that that spiritual battle against the saints of God has disoriented the church, has disorganized the church, and has left the people of God hoping only for a pre-tribulational rapture, not even considering the wrath of the dragon that will be released against it. For they have entertained doctrines of demons and have not taken heed to the warnings to prepare and to become spiritually, soulically, and physically strong. To surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, to entrust ourselves to him, there will be a salvation of a remnant of people, but the majority of people who profess to know God in Jesus Christ, according to Revelation chapter 7, are going to go into the greatest tribulation on the face of the earth. You know, as well as I know, that in a normal setting, it is virtually, absolutely impossible that Donald J. Trump could lose this election. There is no way that Joe Biden could ever be elected to be the president, the leader of the United States of America. Impossible. You know it, and I know it. The president right now is giving glory to Jesus Christ. He openly named him to be greatest of all. I heard it with my own ears. He gave glory to Jesus and said, I'm not taking any chances. No challenge on my part. Jesus Christ is the greatest. Said it with his mouth. I believe that he put the three Supreme Court justices in an amazing way, and over 300 judges on the federal benches that are conservatives. I believe that he's done some pretty amazing things. Not a perfect man, obviously, and there's a lot of suspicion around him. There's no doubt there is over all presidents. Suspicion over Bush, suspicion over Obama, Clinton. Go on down the line. Suspicion. We are at a divide, a continental divide today. The winner of the race is already determined. It's already determined, and Father God already knows what the outcome is going to be. You know, and I know, that cities across America have been boarding up their businesses, boarding up their shops, boarding up their homes, that the National Guard has been released into cities across America by the tens of thousands, and that there are groups of individuals calling for anarchy and a rise, and everybody's waiting to see. But I'm telling you, God already knows. And in a normal world, it is impossible for Joe Biden to win. But we do not live in a normal world. Normal will never happen again until Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. We have been warning for years that America has crossed the point of no return. In 2003, we saw it. And it's been 17 years, and she has never returned. And now she has come to the brink of her doom, the brink of her destruction, the brink of the day of accountability for what she has done, and for the church in America and the conservative Republicans in America to have allowed the blasphemy to have taken place on our watch. Our generation is being held accountable. It is not that there are not righteous people in our land. There are. But the book of Ezekiel makes it plain. Only the righteous will deliver themselves. They will not deliver their unrighteous children or grandchildren. Only the righteous will be delivered. And those are the rigidly righteous who walk in the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness that comes by faith in what Jesus Christ has done and propels them beyond the reach of sin and corruption and defilement and depravity, that they're walking in the Spirit in holiness and purity, ascending beyond all laws into the Spirit to fulfill every divine demand of the Father of all lights, and to walk in the integrity of the gospel, fully repentant of all sin, holding nothing dear to them of this world, being in it but not of it, using it but not abusing it, walking in the light of truth, obeying the doctrine of Christ and the apostles through the Holy Spirit. Yes, we've come to this climatic moment. We would like to have thought that the propaganda machines in the last several weeks had brought some kind of a temperature of hope and energy. But today we realize that this nation is prepared for a bonfire of justice, and not the justice of men, but the justice of God Almighty. And what people have imagined or could not imagine has now arrived at the doorsteps of our nation. And what we will find in the days to come will tell the truth. The truth will finally be known. But again, I say that the truth spoken has no influence to people who are deceived and love their deception. Just like you cannot show a blind man the way until their eyes are opened. The eyes and the minds of the American people have been absolutely taken over. I want to share with you another article that a friend of mine sent me yesterday. And it was a very powerful thought, and I want you to consider it carefully. Carefully consider these words. What is gaslighting? The term gaslighting originates in the systematic, psychological, listen, It originates in the systematic, psychological manipulation of a victim by her husband in Patrick Hamilton's 1938 stage play, Gaslight. And the film adaptations released in 1940 and 1944. In the story, the husband attempts to convince his wife and others that she is insane by manipulating small elements of their environment and insisting that she is mistaken, remembering things incorrectly or delusional when she points out these changes. The play's title alludes to how the abusive husband slowly dims the gaslights in their home while pretending nothing has changed in an effort to make his wife doubt her own perceptions. The wife repeatedly asks her husband to confirm her perceptions about the dimming lights, but in defiance of reality, he keeps insisting that the lights are the same, and instead, it is she who is going insane. Today, we are living in a perpetual state of gaslighting. The reality that we are being told by the media is at complete odds with what we are seeing with our own two eyes. And when we question the false reality that we are being presented, or we claim that what we see is that actual reality, we are vilified as racists or bigots or just plain crazy. You're not racist. You're not crazy. You're being gaslighted. New York State has twice as many deaths from COVID-19 than any other state, and New York has accounted for 1/5 of all COVID-19 deaths. But we are told that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has handled the pandemic better than any other governor. But if we support policies of governors whose states had only a fraction of the infections and deaths as New York, we're called anti-science and want people to die. So we ask ourselves, am I crazy? No, you're being gaslighted. We see mobs of people looting stores, smashing windows, setting cars on fire, and burning down buildings. But we are told that these demonstrations are peaceful protests. And we call this destruction of. And the article just ended there. I didn't get any more of it. We're being gaslighted, which means we're being deceived. And deception begins with a small little seed. And it grows until it takes over the psyche. The psychological impact against the human race from the satanic barrage has been what Scripture said it would be. And I maintain that the truth will set us free. I maintain that Jesus Christ is my King. I maintain that the gospel of Jesus Christ is my constitution. I maintain that the Holy Spirit is my guide and truth. I live in America. I am an American citizen in the flesh. I voted. I pray for the leaders, whether to get them out of office or for God to be with them in office. I live in America. My citizenship, according to Philippians, is in heaven. On this earth, I want to be salt and I want to be light. When I read the Bible, understand that through the biblical lens, which it seems so difficult for us to understand, that everything going on in this world is exactly what Jesus Christ, the apostles, by the Spirit of the Lord, said would be happening in the end of time, globally, all over the world, as a hurricane category 4, most likely becoming a 5, is ready to hit Nicaragua in Central America. How many hurricanes have we seen blowing off the charts? Earthquakes in Turkey, fires in California, flooding and damages and all the events wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, famines, all the signs of the times that Jesus said would take place globally at the same time around the world, and that all the disciples should pay attention to those signs. When they see these things begin to come to pass, they should come out of her, my people. Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Know that it is a time to begin your journey out, to begin your journey out. And yet, rather than beginning the process out, we seem to embrace everything that the world is giving us. I-12 phones, I-11 phones, more computer, 5G towers. And rather than recognizing that these are the implements of the great snare that will come upon the whole world, we keep using them. And I understand that there is a benefit, like we're using right now, to be able to broadcast on platforms around the world to tell the gospel message. Folks, every single sign that the Bible predicted to be in the last days right before the arrival of the Antichrist are here. All of them. There are one or two little minor things that are huge that need to happen. I personally believe that there will be a temple built in the Middle East. I believe that the unbelieving Jewish people will bring forth their final act of rebellion against God by denying the sacrifice of Jesus as the Lamb of God. And in building the temple, they will go back to animal sacrifices, totally rejecting and denying what Jesus Christ has done for them. And because of that level of rejection, the Antichrist will have power to eventually stand in the most holy place in that temple. And it will be none other than Lucifer embodied as he makes landfall, being cast out of heaven in these last days. I believe the Bible is very clear. We are living in unprecedented times. We were thinking maybe it'll just go flat. Since when does a country board up its cities? Normally we celebrated who won the election, parades and celebrations. Today, we're boarding up our cities. We're hearing of revolution, taking over the White House, anarchy. We're getting reports that there will be a strike against the electrical grid, making the warriors of the Antichrist more effective in their war. Most likely, this internal war is exactly what the prophet from Romania, Dumitru Dudeman, said, that in the time of the collapse of the United States of America, there would be an internal war that would begin with a racism, the blacks. It happened in Minnesota with George Floyd. But it's extended beyond just race into Antifa and into other Occupy movements and Black Lives Matter. But he said that the government would have to be dealing with the internal problems. And at that time, outside enemy forces would attack the United States. He named some of the forces, but he also said that there were some that he didn't remember. Time will tell, but it is the stage purely set for that prophetic word to come to pass, which means that America will go to war, and most likely that war will escalate until the one world government, under the power of the United Nations, under the power of the man of sin, will come and take over the nations of the earth, bring his mark, bring his system, tag the people, make war with the saints, overcome them for 3.5 years. This is where we've come to. This isn't a drama. This isn't conspiracy. This isn't make-believe. This isn't out of the imagination of some man's heart. This is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that we've been warning the listeners for years about, nearly 25 years. We've been warning, writing and warning. Jeremiah for 40 years spoke to his generation. We've been sinning against God openly, blasphemously for 60 years. I want you to hear the words of God one more time of what you can expect at this moment. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I believe that famine has hit the earth for years now, that there's only been a remnant that has been eating the bread and the meat and drinking the wine and the milk of heaven, that really have understood the words of God for the times that we're living in. They shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. No, what they've been running to is finding tickling ears, tickling messages. Scratch my back. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell the seers not to see. Tell the prophets not to prophesy these doom and gloom, but to prophesy smooth things. Tell me what I hear. Give me the formulas for personal success. But the true words of God have been reserved for the uncompromisingly righteous who would hear the word saying, prepare, take heed to the warning, understand what time it is. And the word of God came into their hearts and minds and illuminated their minds so that they might comprehend and see what's going on in the world we're living in right now, rather than trying to sidestep it, turn it around, twist it into our liking. The word of the Lord also said, behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. What is this prophet saying? God judged his own nation, Israel. He says to the Judeo-Christian nation of America, I have warned you for 60 years to turn your course. But you have not only allowed the rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah to fight against me, but you, church, have gone silent. You chose the big stage and the limelight of man's admiration, and you lost the admiration of God. You gained the respect of the people of your nation, and you lost the respect of God. You gained the advantage of what the world could pay you, but you lost your eternal reward for following the King of Glory and standing as a dead man and a dead woman, proclaiming the righteousness of God and upholding the compass of His glory. And we, the church in America, have been weighed in the balances, and we have been found guilty. And so the church no longer has the power to restrain what is coming. America, America. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I want to read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right before he spoke in Matthew 24, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And I hear him saying today, oh, America, America. You that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Wow. These are the words of the Lord. This is important. This is God's word. This isn't the left. This isn't the right. This isn't red state, blue state. This is the spiritual word of God So many people think that God has no issue in what we're doing here in this country right now. God's far away. God's not listening. God's not hearing. God doesn't care. Look what he's allowed all these years. Yes, he gave the commission to the church to stand in the gap. And the church has not stood in the gap, and therefore evil has prospered. And now we're suggesting to go to the streets with our weapons to fight against an army that is more sophisticated and hell-bent on our destruction, empowered not only by Satan, but God's word allowing them to succeed. That doesn't sound like the plan to me. The plan is when you see these things begin to come to pass, hold loosely these platforms, hold loosely the 5G towers, hold loosely your computer, hold loosely your phone. Get ready to lose it. Get ready to throw it into the lake. Get ready to get free. Shut the computer down. Walk away. Put on your hat and your sunglasses, as a dear brother was talking about going incognito in these times. It's time to understand. We're watching to this final moment. Something that is not being manipulated by the propaganda of Satan through all the mechanisms of the news media. Something spiritual is happening right now. There's been a war in the heavenlies. The sign of Revelation 12 was above our heads. In September of 2017, which was a sign of what was to come. That sign was a foretelling that Satan was preparing to be cast onto the earth. Did we forget the signs? The church has been ignoring the signs, adapting to doctrines of demons of once saved, always saved, pre-tribulational rapture, and every other quenching cessationist doctrine where the Holy Spirit no longer takes the lead in the life of a believer and really doesn't control the church. And when the Holy Spirit doesn't control the church, you wind up with 42,000 sects and denominations competing against one another, fighting against one another. And you think the church is ready to stand in the gap? Not going to happen. Well-tended politicians. I just heard yesterday, remember Shepard Smith from Fox News? Oh, yes, Shepard's got his own place. He came out 5 years ago. He's an outspoken homosexual. Tammy Bruce on Fox News with Tucker Carlson, outspoken homosexual. Who are you listening to? Who are you getting your strength from? Fox News, the conservative news channel that promotes homosexuality? Don't you see the compromise? Don't you see the little leaven that leavens the whole loaf? So when the truth of God is spoken without adultery nor hypocrisy, we shudder at it. Oh, that's too hard, because we're used to being dumbed down. We're used to being tickled with conservative political ideas. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. I've been rambling on for an hour. Want to know what you guys are thinking out here today. Telephone number to call if you'd like to call in today is 818-369-0326. Let me say good morning to Dean Smith. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I totally agree, Dean. May God bless our souls in this hour. Cindy, good morning. Good morning, Cindy. God bless you. Jim Baltimore. Red wave, red wave, red wave. Mark it down. It's up over 500. Trump, Pence, victory. Electoral votes. God bless, Pastor Vincent. Okay, there's a declaration. Red wave, red wave, red wave. Time will tell. Kelly Reynolds, good morning. Kelly, good morning, Kelly. God bless you. Jim Baltimore says, I believe when Erdogan, Gog of Ezekiel 38, 39, white horseman, invaded Syria on Yom Kippur, October 9th, 2019, he started the sorrows and birth pains. Right after Erdogan invaded, reports came on the first of the year. China knew back in October, Erdogan is the catalyst that will change everything in the Middle East soon. All right, Jim, another conversation to be talked about, no doubt. Wendy Bredesen, good morning from Canada, listening. Welcome from Canada, Wendy. God bless you. Kathy Bruns, the deep state is part of the Antichrist system, also planned to depopulate the world through the pandemic. In God we trust, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Kathy Bruns also says, thanks for reading that letter. What country is this archbishop from? Thanks for sharing that letter. God bless. That was from Italy. Kim Bowling, I'm late. Hi, y'all. Hello, Kim. God bless you from Colorado. Wendy Bredesen, oh, amen. Everything you say, bless you, brother in Christ. Thank you. Needed to hear this today, and we will be watchmen and speak the truth. Kim says, agreeing with you, Pastor, something spiritual is happening right now, and something spiritual is always happening. It's not about the natural. It is about the spiritual. And she goes on to say, seems like they are coming out of defiance. Wendy says, thank you again. From Canada. Waiting for your thoughts, anything you'd like to share today, let me put the telephone number up on our banner. If you would like to call into the broadcast, there is the telephone number, 818-369-0326. We're running the race. Time is going to tell everything. We're wanting to see things from the perspective of God. We want to know his heart. We want to know his mind. We want to know the truth. We who are rigidly righteous, uncompromisingly righteous, true followers of Jesus Christ, should have zero fear in our spirit, in our soul. And the spirit of fear is running rampant right now. Thousands of witches and warlocks are cursing. They've done it before. The curse causeless cannot stand. What time is it, saints of God? What is going to happen? What an amazing time to be alive. What an amazing time to be born again, to know Jesus Christ, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, to know the love of God that passes knowledge. Oh my goodness. To have the warmth of the comfort and the Holy Spirit in your life. To have the word of God as a roadmap of truth and direction. To have the mind of Christ so you're not psychologically taken over by the lies. Oh, how good it is to be born again. Would to God that all God's people would hit their knees today. They would shout out to heaven, Holy Spirit, come and fill me until there's no darkness whatsoever in my soul. Break the chains of deception. Break all chains that are lies and not truth. Show me the light. Show me the truth. Invade my soul. Let the river of God flow through my being. Let every soul, let every cell of my body be touched by the life-giving spirit. Let the quickening of resurrection life and resurrection power surge through my being. Awaken my spirit. Awaken my soul. Fill it with the glory of the kingdom of God. This nonsense that's out there right now. Saints and brothers like scorpions stinging and biting like Pharisees and scribes. What nonsense in consideration of the times we are living in. What foolishness. What childlike attitudes. You smart, intelligent ones on the internet telling everybody that they need to hear. I'm preaching the word of God. I don't care if you hear me or not. I'm telling you what this word says about the times we're living in. And I've told you and I've preached this word of God for 28 years and I've showed you. I'm not denominational. I have no agenda of my own, but to be accurate before the Lord because I'm going to give an account. And I have people telling me, yes, you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account. Yes, I am. And I'm intelligent enough to know that if I'm going to give an account, I want the truth be known. I teach truth to blind people, and they can't see it. They insist upon things that are just wrong and are going to hurt them and those who follow them. What foolishness. Waiting for your call. Area code 818-369-0326. But on the other side, hallelujah. We're all working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're all wanting to know the truth. We're all wanting to walk in the light of truth. But I'm waiting for your call. I'm waiting for you to show up right now in our comments or on the telephone, waiting for your thoughts and ideas about what you heard today. I guess we'll see you tomorrow then with Daniel Seckham, the day after the election. I shared my heart with you. I gave you what I believe is true. May God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow with Bells On. This is Pastor Vince. Shalom. Right now on the Omega Radio Network, there is a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier. Until we meet again, shalom.